Any other clinical research initiatives that you're involved with?
Well, we're very anxious to see what we can do in terms of leveraging immunotherapy in colorectal cancer. We've been interested in exploring some anti-CTLA-4 monoclonal antibody technology. Too early to know where we're going with that, but it's an interesting strategy. There are a number of groups looking at vaccine strategies, trying to mobilize the immune system. Again, no great points to put on the scoreboard, but interesting ideas. We're very interested in the insulin growth factor receptor as a potential target. A number of companies are bringing anti-IGF monoclonals into the clinical investigation arena in the near future, and we plan to be working in that area. So we're looking for new targets, we're looking for new strategies, and like everyone else, we're looking for ways to identify those patients most likely or least likely to benefit from a particular strategy so that we can enrich populations that are exposed to a particular drug and increase the chance of success.
In terms of the IGF antagonists, I'm curious what your thoughts are about the work that's been done looking at diet and exercise in the adjuvant trial that you reported, because people have thought, well, maybe that's somehow related to insulin growth factor. Can you talk about that work and what your thoughts are on it?
Yeah, this is work that Jeff Meyerhart and Charlie Fuchs have really done the heavy lifting on and really deserve the credit for pushing through. In conjunction with the IFL adjuvant study that I led, they put together a very sophisticated questionnaire that gathered a lot of useful information from patients about their activity, diet, lifestyle, supplements, all sorts of interesting things. And we're getting a lot of very useful information out of that. And one of the more interesting things that was published in Journal of Clinical Oncology last August with Jeff as first author was that when we looked at the population of patients that were completely sedentary and compared them to patients that had the metabolic equivalent of 6 hours of walking per week. So we're not talking about marathon runners here. We're talking about people that were getting some moderate aerobic exercise on a regular basis. The group that had the 6 hours of walking or equivalent per week had a 50% risk reduction in disease recurrence relative to the fully sedentary population. Now, this is an observational study, but it's very, very interesting. I find it intriguing. I think if anybody needs extra incentive to get off the couch and get out on the Stairmaster or on the track, this should provide that. What I'm telling my patients is I can't say definitively that this proves that exercise will help, but I think it does, and that I strongly encourage my patients to try to maintain as much aerobic activity as is reasonable during and after their treatment. Now, whether this works by affecting the insulin receptor pathways, whether this works by some optimization of the immune system, very hard to say. I'm sure a lot of work is going to be done trying to sort that out over the next few years. And whether or not prospective interventions to improve individuals' activity during and after therapy would result in a demonstrable benefit, we don't know right now. Those would be difficult studies to do, but I hope they are going to happen. In the meantime, I think there's a lot of reasons to favor a healthy lifestyle, and I think this just adds information to that. So I'm very comfortable recommending to my patients that they try to maintain regular aerobic exercise. We have some newer information indicating that a favorable diet may have some benefits as well. That's stuff that isn't fully formulated and published yet, but I think we'll be hearing more about that over the next 6 months.
Yeah, I'd heard from Charlie that they were going to be looking at that because they have that data in that same questionnaire, and that'd be really fascinating.
Right. They've got a lot of interesting things to look at. We'll be looking at that, and they've got information on what patients reported in terms of what kind of dietary supplements they were taking, who was taking selenium, who wasn't, who was taking antioxidant vitamins, who wasn't. This will be one of the largest data sets that will let us get some information on whether those appear to be beneficial or not.
I just think it's so interesting that this trial that, you know, kind of in a way, as you mentioned, sort of a disappointment because the IFL part of it didn't work, is yielding such incredible information, provocative information.
Well, first of all, I think one of the most important things that the IFL adjuvant study showed us is the importance of doing the study. Far too many people were willing to say we know the answer when we didn't know the answer. In fact, we took some heat for doing that study from some people who said it's not ethical. You've shown a survival advantage in metastatic disease. You know it's going to improve survival in the adjuvant. Let's just do it. And many people did do it. Well, the study showed us not only did it not confer a survival advantage, but it increased toxicity, including lethal toxicity. So the study showed us that what we might have thought was the right thing to do was in fact the wrong thing to do. That's valuable information that we can use in optimizing care for our patients. And at the same time, because we had a lot of molecular correlates and these kinds of dietary and exercise and lifestyle correlates built into the trial, we're going to learn a lot of things that are going to be helpful to our patients.
Do you think that these provocative data on exercise, I mean, granted it's retrospective or I guess sort of
observational,
observational, justify a prospective randomized trial looking at that? I mean, in breast cancer, we have the WIND study, which was a prospective trial that showed some encouraging result in terms of diet. Do you think that we should be thinking about prospective study, adjuvant studies looking at lifestyle interventions or combining them with other interventions?
I suppose that would be a good thing to do because it would give us a definitive answer one way or the other. In other words, can we intervene and change, or were the people who were more active going to do better anyway because they were more active? In other words, can we influence things? It would be nice to know. It would be a difficult study to do, but I think it's doable and probably worth doing.
Yeah, I guess I wonder who would pay for it too.
That's going to be one of the challenges. I would assume that that's going to have to be a government-supported study.